Okay, welcome to the NIST lecture, NIST seminar series. So today's speaker will be Narayan Vatrekar from University of Goa. He has had his master degree in electronics and bachelor degree in physics, following which he has been working on his PhD since 2010.
Yeah.
He has been working on multispectral face imaging, especially as custom-built sensors for making facial recognition more robust and reliable. And he would be talking on one such sensor that he has built and what are the key challenges that he's trying to address with that sensor. Welcome.
Okay. Thank you, Kiran. Is it audible? Okay. So the topic is extended multispectral imaging for facial biometrics. So what are the things that I would be covering in this presentation? That includes a brief introduction to the facial biometrics and its use in the multispectral imaging and the developed sensor that we are going to talk in detail and the database and one of the case study that we have considered using this data set for age group classification or the age group face recognition. So in the introduction, we have seen that the facial biometrics has been utilized in the various authentication system for robust performance, but there are various challenges that the facial biometrics has faced, such as illumination variations, inter-class variation and the occlusion. So these are the various challenges that has still not been addressed, though the literature or the work has reached to the its saturation level. But due to the non-intrusive nature, it has been widely used in the facial biometrics for the authentication. So in order to address these some of the concerns, whether this spectral imaging can be used. So recently, multispectral imaging has been introduced in the facial biometrics for an authentication. So how this multispectral imaging work? Usually, multispectral imaging, you can capture a spatial-spectral information across the spectrum. Okay, that means in usual practice or in traditional facial biometric, you capture image across visible band that will be in the RGB bands. But in case of the multispectral imaging, you can capture across various broad spectral bands such as visible, SWIR, NIR, MWIR, and LWIR. So you get various information which are complementary and heterogeneous information of same subject, unique information across different bands, if you consider. So why we say complementary information? If you consider invisible band, you get a reflectance information, though you capture across different bands in the visible, but the reflectance information is captured in the sensor. But if you consider the NIR, you get to know the reflectance as well as the emittance information. The emittance, the dominance of the reflectance is more in NIR as compared to the emittance. But if you progress to far infrared spectrum, say consider in LWIR, there is no reflectance information that is captured. It's emittance information, that is the heat information of the individuals. So based on the imaging techniques, you see different facial features as you progress the image in the visible bands and in the LWIR. So more whitish images, that is the heat pattern is obtained. So alternative to the multispectral imaging is hyperspectral, wherein you can capture facial database or the images across various spectral bands, but in a continuous manner. So how this can address the authentication? Because one of the issue of the facial biometric is the illumination variation, where it affects more. But in case of the multispectral imaging, you don't rely only on the reflectance information. It's basically on the emittance and the photometric properties of the subject. So what are the literature says in multispectral imaging? So multispectral and the hyperspectral, if you try to compare it. So in multispectral, people have addressed the authentication across two or three bands. So they have either considered visible NIR, SWIR, MWIR, and LWIR. But they have considered their studies by considering the visible as their main reference and trying to compare the NIR and the visible or this SWIR or thermal. So intention was to give the realistic situation wherein your images are captured in the visible band that usually used for the enrollment in a mugshot, and in the real time situation where the illumination variation or the nighttime situation where the visible band imaging is not possible, you try to capture using NIR or the thermal or SWIR. So you try to capture and try to match. So such kind of studies that has been done by making use of visible with various bands. So either two or three bands they have considered in their studies. But the challenge arise here is the cross-spectral matching when the information is coming from the two different domains. So that's where people are finding more challenges, the information from visible has to match with the information from the other spectrum. Or it has to do with cross distance also. So these things people have been addressed in the literature so far. And there's one more study that has been done is the liveness detection, wherein the information such as the liveness of the subject has been detected. So if I consider hyperspectral face recognition, there are not much literature has been done. So either people have explored in visible or NIR. So in case of hyperspectral, up to 65 bands has been explored. So that is by CMU dataset that is available in the public repository. And the people started using this spectral signature to recognize a face at the start. That was the work which was done long back. But then they realized that spectral signature is not robust for recognizing a person. Then they thought of doing spectral band fusion, wherein the information you capture in hyperspectral is like there are a lot of band misalignment or the signal to noise ratio is low. So because of the sequential image capture, so they thought of using the band selection and performing a fusion and to get the robust information. So this is what the literature that has says in case of multispectral and the hyperspectral. The concept of multispectral usually has come from this remote sensing where from the satellite you can take the picture and try to classify which are the regions. Okay, based on the spectral signature of the land or the soil or forest, you classify them. So in the first study, they have used this concept to take the facial parts such as forehead, then the left, right cheek, nose, then lips, and try to get the signature. And you see that those are the study that has been done. But people started writing critique that these are not robust to detect a person, but it is okay if to get the signatures of different regions of the face. So, but not for the biometric authentication. So that is what the critics people have written. So this is our kind of motivation to work towards development of our sensor. Usually in one side we have a multispectral imaging and the other side is the hyperspectral. So in multispectral, the studies are considered in either two or three broad spectral bands. In hyperspectral, you have lot overlapping information. So it's a kind of redundant information present. So based on these analyses, we thought of doing or developing a sensor that will give you a spectral band information which will be disjoint, discrete, and a complementary information. So we try to explore this particular region of visible and NIR. Okay, in visible and NIR, especially we have chosen this particular band because the visible is in close proximity with NIR. So you will get in case of visible, it's a reflectance, and in case of NIR, it's a reflectance as well as the emittance information. So we try to explore this and try to customize the cameras by procuring various equipments which are required for the development of this sensor. So in the first case, the camera which we got it from the C-Cam Technologies, it's in the visible and NIR, going from 400 to 1000 nanometer. So similarly for the lens, again it is going from 400 to 1000 nanometer. So in order to get the various spatial spectral information, we got these optical filter bands, which are again in these range, specified range, going from 530 to 1000 nanometer. We did not go for less than 530 because the response was very low of sensor in the extreme ends. So we thought of going into the region where the response is very high and we could get a good imaging information. And the filter wheel that we have used to have a flexibility in changing the bands. And this is the final, it's not visible clear here. So this is the final setup that we have made, which consists of filter wheel and the customized sensor. So this is the extended multispectral imaging camera that can capture a 9 narrow band filter across visible and NIR range. So this has been published in the IST last year. So one problem that we have found with this sensor is that there is a gap between the filter wheel and the lens. So when you do the imaging or the image capture, there is a misalignment because every time the wavelength has to change by manually, and so there is a misalignment of this, and it is difficult to maintain every time. So we thought of improvising this particular sensor by using our local skills. So we thought of using this joints of the pipe. It's very low cost, and tried to fit it all our filters, and it was exactly coming in alignment with the lens that we got. So we just wrapped a paper and then placed our filter. So there is no chance of getting the external ambient light into the sensor, which could affect your imaging. So this is the final version that we have made. So before going into the depth, we have seen that the spectral signatures has been used for various authentication in the first study, if you consider. So we, before going into the actual study, we thought of going for the Lambertian model, which says that X of I, that the reflectance information, is given by these three parameters, that is A of X, Y, N of X, Y, and S. So the one of the important parameters that is required is the photometric reflectance. So that is A of X, Y, that is of our concern, because that is you're going to capture in your sensor. So this photometric reflectance parameter depends on the two different constraints. These are specular reflections and the diffusion reflections. So if you consider a material or a skin or any surface, the 5% of the light is reflected back when it is incident. So that is a specular reflection, and the 95% it get penetrate and it is diffused reflection. So it penetrates, scatter, and then comes out of the material. So this is shown in this diagram for more clarity. But this the reflectance profile depends on the absorption and the scattering of the coefficient present in the layers of the skin. So if you consider the human skin, there are various layers, upper layer, epidermis and dermis, and the various constituents are present in this particular layers, and these constituents form an absorption. They absorb the light, and depending upon the absorption, the information or the reflectance of the light is decided. So if you consider in the dermis layer, these dominant absorbers are melanin and hemoglobin. So and their activity has been seen across various spectrum. So if you consider in the visible band, in the first plot, the activity is more, the more light has been absorbed. Okay, so in the other side, the reflection is very less because the light is more absorbed here. And if you see the reflected light, it is very less if you consider the other side. And in case of NIR, okay, here the activity is more, but in NIR there is activity, the activity of the absorption of these coefficients are decreasing, so the reflection information is more. So that is the thought we gave to understand or to make our further study, that in case of individuals, this reflectance is varying. But if you consider across different age group, there should be a more variations should be present across this age groups. So we thought of going for the face recognition or performance analysis across different age groups, thinking that there will be a different spectral signature across the different age groups. So if you consider the specular reflections and these constituents or the dominant light absorber or the skin thickness, these varies as you progress throughout the age. And based on that, the reflectance information that you get is varying. So one of the study that we have done for the two different age group, that is the age below 18 years and the age above 18 years. So why we chose this age? Because in case of the age group which is less than the 18 years, where you see most of the facial So it's the age group less than 18, it's a puberty age group wherein most of the facial structure is developed during that age, and the minor shape change or the texture change happen above the 18 years. So it goes until 40 or 45, and then again there is a drastic change in the texture or the shape. If you consider the age group, so we thought of going for the age group below this 18 and the above 18. So the collection of the data is very difficult, so we need to choose a specific age group or target some specific group where you can find out this database. So we thought of going for data collection in the school, wherein we collected the data for school children for less than 15 years. Okay, this is the data set for the children and the adult for about 20 years. So there is a gap of 5 years. And the interesting results has been captured by various state-of-the-art methods such as this feature extraction and a classifier. So as we have seen across the spectrum, we have computed these results across various spectral bands. And we know that in this particular spectrum, the concentration of these chromophores are very high. So there is a absorption of this coefficient, or the activity is more, so the light is more absorbed in this particular region. And that's why the reflected information or the less information is delivered, and that is captured in the sensor. So that is what you see, that the recognition rate is very low as compared to the adult. In case of the adult, these concentrations are very, the concentration of these chromophore are very less, thin, the thickness of the skin is very less, and the depth of the penetration is more. So similarly, if you go across the spectrum, okay, the activity is very less, and the more light is reflected back, and you see the performance of the children is improvised in case of the NIR bands. Okay, so that is the first hypothesis that based on that we got these results. And similar results one can see for CMC plots. So the recognition rate is very high in case of the adults as compared to the children, and these are the ROC plots. So in the conclusion, you see that there is a clear difference in the recognition rate across the different age groups. Okay, plus this recognition rate in children is very low in the in case of visible bands due to the more concentration of the chromophores, and the results of the children and the adult, you see there is a comparative analysis one can make in case of NIR bands, where the activity of these are very low. So comparative results are obtained in NIR as compared to the visible bands. So one can think of the other aspect of the study, such as gender classification or the age classification using multispectral imaging in the near future, or the other modes of the biometric for the using multispectral imaging. So this is our preliminary study that we have conducted, and that is the thing that we have done so far with the existing sensor. Thank you. Questions?
Thank you, Narayan. We would now like to invite questions from the audience.
Yeah.
And following the footsteps of Niels, the best student question will get a gift. Would you like to try?
Hi, thanks for a nice presentation.
Yeah,
I have a question on acquiring the images.
Okay. Yeah?
In principle, what you have to do is shift the filter every time.
Yes.
And so in principle, you will not get the same image, in the sense that I just with a different filter, mm-hmm. right? Because somebody moves, and children might even move more than adults, so I'm not sure how much that would influence the result. Is there a possibility to create a device mm-hmm. that captures all these bands at once?
That is the hyperspectral that you see. The hyperspectral device is available, but it is costing very high, around 40-50 lakhs US dollar.
Okay.
So such technology any institute cannot afford to get, and that's why the research is very sparse in this area. Plus the database is also not available. So that's why we thought of developing this low-cost multispectral imaging sensor.
But if you have
your point is valid that there is a misalignment or the because of the pose and the yeah. not cooperative.
What if you I mean this is low cost. What if you build it 9 times?
The same one.
Yeah, exactly the same, except every time with a different filter, yeah. and just cluster them together and take one picture with all 9 devices at once. I'm not sure how low cost. It's obviously less low cost then, but
yeah, that can be also done. But with the availability of the subject and the time consumption for the data collection, that has to be also considered in the data collection. Yeah. Because with this setup, we take around 3 to 4 minutes to capture one image across 9 bands. Yeah. If you want to have number of samples to capture, then it becomes 1 hour. So we have developed one more data set with uncontrolled condition with different light source and the outside condition, and then now we are working on this data set, so with this sensor.
I have one more question. If I look at this graph,
yeah,
I see a pretty good performance for 890 nanometers.
Correct.
Which is approximately the same as the fused performance.
Yes.
So why do fusion?
We did fusion, that's what I said in the beginning. People started doing the fusion because of this related to your first question, that is the misalignment and the various the signal to noise ratio is very low in the bands, across the bands, because of the response of the sensor. So people started fusing all the bands and try to see the what is the performance. Mm. So similarly, we give the analysis by fusing as well as with across the bands. So so we see that there is a comparative results that can be seen. So the question comes, if you can get better results or the robust or the best results with one of these bands, then why you need to fuse the all the bands? Yeah. So that's what we have given the analysis here.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Yeah. Hi.
I have 2 questions.
Yes.
The first one is, can you talk a little bit more about the feature extraction when comparing to the feature you extract from the normal images? I'm not familiar with the facial recognition.
So these are the...
So when you have this, the fused samples, the sample you connected, it's different to the normal images, right? So how you extract features?
We have independently performed the experiment for every feature extraction algorithm. And this is with respect to one of the best performing algorithm, that is LogGabber, we have displayed. So similar results, we have got it for the other feature extraction methods. So
you can use the feature extraction method used for the normal samples.
The normal sample, the one
that works on your collecting the samples.
Yeah. We are not doing any fusion of across different feature extraction. This is the independent study that we have done it for various feature extraction algorithm. Is this the...
Yeah, this question was more towards, are you using the same set of feature extraction that you use for regular traditional feature extraction?
Okay.
Or do you have customized feature extraction for spectral images?
Yes.
No. It's a regular that we have used.
Yeah, another question is that I'm wondering the impact for the skin color. Do you have some study about this one? The skin color may be different.
Skin?
The white people, the...
Regarding the ethnicity, you were data that is mostly focused on the Indian.
Indian,
right?
One of the, yeah.
Because the reflection may be different. Skin.
The people have people. Color. People have done the studies in specifically in the broad spectral band, such as SWIR, LWIR, across the ethnicity also, and it is varying. There is a lot much of variation that you see if you consider the performance across different ethnicity also. So if the thickness, or it depends upon the thickness and the amount of concentration present in the skin. So based on that, the reflectance properties has been defined. So if you consider this is one study for one particular group of same ethnicity. The similar study can be conducted across various ethnicity and try to see what is the performance that you get.
Could you use this method to determine the age of the subject, or at least determine if it's below some certain age?
As of now, we have not done it, but with the existing database that we have, we are thinking to do with for age classification. But the people have done, that's what I have seen in the literature, for all the broad spectrum, but not for the extended or the hyperspectral for the age classification. So we are thinking to do this for the age classification also, because we see that the recognition rate is varying from one age group to the other age group. Okay, those things are not considered when you do the recognition rate in the usual practice. If you see in the most of the data set, say Indian database of Aadhaar, it has a wide diversity right from the different age group. You will have, if you want to process such kind of data set, then you need to see how it will perform overall data set or across different age group.
This database that you have collected,
yes,
it has two age groups that you mentioned.
Yes.
One is the age below 18 years,
yeah.
The other one is above 20
years. Yes.
So what is the diversity of the above 20? Is it only 20 to 25 or?
We have the data set from postgraduate students, which is going from 23 to 20, at the most 27. So we not have beyond that. So it was a constant range. Similarly for the children also. So around 230 subjects we have across different spectrum. So we can do this study for the various different age group, but it will be a huge data collection, and then there is a lot much improvisation required before collecting this data set in the sensor part of also, because you don't need so much of time to capture the data set. It should be in one shot.
More questions?
Yes. Okay, so you're using absorption and reflection of the skin.
Yes.
So will using makeup or
growing a beard have an effect on the accuracy of the facial recognition? One day girls might use makeup and one day another. Will that have an effect on the reflection or absorption and therefore the accuracy of the recognition?
I guess this can be one of the studies that can be done in using multispectral. And you see, it's a when you do the makeup, it's a kind of a layer that has been placed in on the face. So there will be a kind of absorption that will affect, but the overall signature or the reflectance profile will remain the same if you consider across the bands. So that is what I see. I can tell you at the moment.
Okay, with the beard, will that have an effect?
Yeah, because as I've said in the previous, for the reflectance is varying for the hair or the different region, depends on the thickness and these coefficients present. So there it will affect the performance because there is a lot much of variations. If you see the last one is for the hair, okay, and that is for the hair region, the reflectance profile across the different bands, but for different subject, and if you see, it is almost overlapping. But if you see the other regions, there is a change in the spectral signature. So when you consider a multispectral, you won't be considering the specific region. It will be a overall combination of all this, so that you'll get a composite spectral signature. So it will be a nice study to do with this kind of makeup and to try to find out the performance analysis using this. Yeah. 12.
This here you can see that the profile changes because of the beard.
Yes.
See, it is going from NIR, that is 1000 bands, and this side it's 530, so more visible and the more NIR. So there is a lot much of change you see in the facial as well as in the more towards iris also.
More questions?
No. These are all across the bands for male and the female.
Is there a difference between male and female? Or is it just by accident that you have a role for female and a role for male?
This is actually a picture that we have published in one of the paper. That's that is what I have placed. But if you see, there is a difference in the male and the female. We have done the study recently that we are trying to communicate. There is a change in the gender classification you can do with multispectral. Because in the female, the skin is very soft as compared to the male. There is a texture change, and the reflectance and those things are very much effective. So that is the thing.
More questions? So then maybe first I should give the prize to the best student question. And we should also thank the speaker for the nice talk. And here is a souvenir from Antonio.
Thank you.
Thank you, Narayan.
Yeah.
We can conclude the session. Yes, there is a NIST lecture next week from Martin, I think. No?
No.
From?
Not the NIST lecture.
Okay, yes. Yes. Welcome. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, it is something in the, I mean, there was good participation with solstice.
Yeah.
I don't know. With 3D flight, it's so hard. I don't know. Some way in improvement over the battery starting mode. Are you behind me there?
No, that's no longer there.
Sudden
death or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
The guy,
Nils, the guy told us, here, right?
Yeah.
To take out.